Good morning. So this morning, we're going to continue our series. We're in week three now. So if you remember the first week, we were in the garden. Last week, we talked about the covenant a little bit. This week, we're going to talk about the kingdom. So we're moving from the time this week of the Exodus and God's covenant with the people of Israel to when they're a little bit more settled in. So now the Israelites have taken possession of their land, and they've desired to be like everybody else. They desire to be like the Joneses, right? So they want a king. They want to be like the other nations. And God provides a king and a leader for them in the person of Saul. Saul was the perfect person for that job. You see, in Israel, he was impressive. In fact, he didn't have any equals among the Israelites. He was tall enough that everyone would have to look up to him. Maybe like 6'10" or, I don't know, 8 feet. Who knows? Probably not 8 feet, but 6'10" maybe. Just think like NBA basketball player, right? Not Spud Webb. But, you know, just a tough, big guy that was just a leader. The kind of guy that you want to have lead you into a battle. The only problem was God wasn't as equally impressed with Saul. Instead, he wanted to go out to the pasture to find his next king, David. So what makes a better training field? The palace or the pasture? Obviously, it's the pasture, right? That's why the picture's of the pasture. I'm just kidding. But honestly, that's where David learns God's heart, is his time in the pasture. You see, Saul had grown up around the city. He grew up getting ready to be the king, where David instead grew up tending to his sheep on the pasture. David took care of the sheep on those cold nights, the ones where we huddle together. Well, he had to huddle the sheep together and keep swishing them in and out so that no one stayed too long on the outside and froze to death. David had to carry a slingshot and a dagger with him because there were lions on the prowl looking for a midnight snack. You see, God used this time to pasteurize David. He learned to play music and compose songs on those long, lonely evenings out on the pasture land when he'd be looking up at a million stars in the sky. He talked to the sheep, who were, of course, his closest companions and probably his friends during that time. I don't know how much you know about pasteurization, but one of the interesting things is that when you do it, you're heating whatever substance it is, whether it's food or drink, to a super high temperature, right? And why are you doing it? It's simply to eliminate the worst bacteria. You know the kind, right? The creepy, slimy stuff that'll kill you, right? Not the happy, like, kind stuff that is good. But what it does, the goal isn't to change the juice, the milk, the beer, the canned goods, or whatever it might be. The goal is to help them to stay and to last longer. That's why Louis Pasteur invented pasteurization. The interesting thing is, there's even a process called ultra-pasteurization for milk. Have any of y'all had milk that's been ultra-pasteurized? Somebody in early service had. I haven't tried it myself. We got one person again. Basically, what they do there is instead of heating it super hot, they heat it super, super, super hot for an amount of time. And what it does is it makes it last for 2 to 3 months. So you can put your gallon of milk in the fridge, and it's still good, like, at Christmas. Wouldn't that be pretty awesome? At least that's what the research that I did said. Like I said, I haven't tried it yet myself. But what happens is, basically, throughout that process, everything gets to last a little bit longer. When you have fresh milk, it tends to spoil a little bit more quickly. You see, Saul spoiled quickly. David lasts forever. David will always have someone sitting on the throne. Saul wasn't pasteurized, so he didn't. You know, another person who was pasteurized was Jesus, who follows in David's line. Did you know that Jesus was literally born in the pasture? Right? You know the story, right? Jesus is born. There's no room in the inn. Where does he stay? In the manger, right? Right near the field. And the sheep come and visit him. All the livestock with the shepherds. You see, Jesus wasn't ashamed to be called the Good Shepherd. He had the courage, the tenacity, and the tenderheartedness and care that are essential to being a good shepherd. When we look at David, he really was the runt of his family. He was the mama's boy that didn't go out to the fields of war except for to bring his brothers, his seven brothers, lunch. And as Samuel comes to anoint the king to his family, Samuel totally overlooks David because he was the runt. He wasn't the one that was good, at least from what Samuel thought. But God knew things needed to be done a little differently. He knew that he needed pasteurization on this one. You know, because Saul had everything that anyone could want on the outside. He had George Washington's stature, Brad Pitt's looks, and of course, the hero power of Samson, being able to take things out. Saul overflowed with confidence and success. David is simply out on the pasture doing his father's business, taking care of the sheep. You know, David was even brought into the service of the king in a small way. He was brought in to play music for the king. The king would get very disturbed and troubled, and David would come in and play the harp to soothe his soul when he was troubled, which ultimately helped Saul to become a better king and be successful. Great people have humble beginnings. You see, David started off as a humble son, doing exactly what his father told him. David even stayed humble as he went to the largest stage in the world. You know the one, right? With a slingshot and a stone and a big giant that fell, Goliath. You see, David didn't let it go to his head. As we fast forward into our reading today, David, as the king, is still humble. He simply wants to build a house for God. David realized that God had given him and Israel everything. And God literally did not have a permanent place to have worship. So David wanted to make that happen. But God had other plans. Plans to establish a permanent name and a house for David. How many of y'all have seen the movie City Slickers? Right? So I was trying to find a clip this week, and I don't know if you've watched City Slickers recently, but the really good ones, where they're not just riding on their horses, there's a little bit of language there, so here's your clip. But basically, it's a great story, besides the little bit of language that I forgot was there as I was watching it this week. But it tells the tale of these three middle-aged men that are city dwellers, city boys, that go out to a ranch, a dude ranch, to be able to do a cattle drive and learn what it's like to be a cowboy. Through the course of the movie, you see these city boys have all kinds of crazy stuff happen to them. But mostly they learn what it means to live on the pasture. They work with the cattle, they ride horses, they watch calves being born, and ultimately, they deal with the loss of Curly. If you haven't seen the movie, I'll leave that one to let you figure out what that means. But ultimately, they get a taste of what the pasture life is really like. You know, today, the majority of us, I don't think, have that experience anymore. The majority of us were born in the city, live in the city, and sometimes never go out in the countryside. But I think one of the important things to learn today is this lesson that God's teaching us through David. If we want to get to know God, then know people. You see, God's calling us out into the pasture to learn his heart, just as David did. Pastors are on the front line and are born in the pasture. But you guys are on the front line too. We we shepherd and encourage every day. You guys do in your own world as well. My son Everett there is someone that God has used and continues to use every day to teach me what it means to have God's heart for people. I'm sure that your kids probably do the same thing for you. When you think about the pasture that God's placed you into, where do you find yourself? What does it look like? Who's there with you? So I'm going to fast forward here for a little bit, if y'all can hang on, right? Put your seatbelt on, because we've got to go through a lot of time. The story continues now with David's son Solomon inheriting his kingdom and becoming the king that brings wisdom and peace to Israel. But after Solomon, it's pretty much a mixed bag, right? You've got a couple good guys, a lot of bad ones. Ultimately, God leads the people of Israel into exile to bring them to their knees. Israel gets to the place where they are on their knees begging for God to send a rescuer, a Messiah. And once again, we can't look to the palace for the answer. Although Herod is sitting there as a magnificent and brilliant ruler and leader, but he wasn't the Messiah Israel needed. Instead, we need to head back out to the pasture. We need to head to Bethlehem. Pastor Jim will be back next week and tell us more about the Messiah as we head into the gospel stories. And may the gospel of Jesus Christ continue to guard your hearts and minds as you go throughout this week living in your pasture, learning the heart that God has for you and learning the heart that God has in store for you for other people. Amen.